Welcome to the Well One Connection, a podcast from Huron Regional Medical Center. The right care is right here.
So we are here for part two of the Well One Connection podcast with Ashley Curno, registered dietitian. Ashley, thanks for visiting us again. We are going to talk about, it's heart month, right? So we're going to talk about some heart healthy diet choices and heart healthy nutrition. For a start here, just the 10-second introduction of yourself for those that may have not listened to part one.
Yes, so I'm Ashley Curno. I'm a registered dietitian here at HRMC and then also at Carr Chiropractic and Intentional Living, where at HRMC I work with the inpatients and the dietary staff and then see outpatients at the clinic.
All right, wonderful. Well, we're thrilled to have you here and excited to talk about the heart healthy diet. I feel like in the buzzwords of nutrition, that's probably one of the most talked about like year round from a dietitian's standpoint. As we go into this month, just break it down for us a little bit. What is really a heart healthy diet?
Yeah, so it's challenging when you hear heart healthy diet because what are you talking about? It's what people are wondering. And to be honest, everything like diabetes, cholesterol, high blood pressure, all of that kind of falls under heart healthy diet. So there's a lot of areas that you can focus on. But of course, like any healthy nutrition basis, focusing on, are we eating enough fruits and vegetables? Are we reducing our refined carbohydrates? So are we primarily eating white bread and pasta, or are we increasing more of our whole grains like whole wheat, brown rice, oats? So grabbing more of those things. What does our color in our diet look like? Is it coming from fruity pebbles, or is it coming from fruits and vegetables? And is this just, are we noticing trends? Are there things that we're just consistently lacking? Like we're very much consistently lacking vegetables, or we're consistently lacking protein. So just analyzing those things and making sure we're incorporating all the right things, I think would be a healthy base for heart healthy nutrition.
Okay, great. So as we're talking about that, most of the things you're talking about are those clean natural ingredients that we're getting that are coming straight from the garden or picking up from the produce section of the grocery store. I think most of us know that's where we should be shopping, right? When we're looking at other things, like other ingredients, are there things that we should be looking at those nutrition labels for? That can be intimidating to flip that bottle around or that package around and see that nutrition label. So anything that we should specifically be looking for, we're specifically focusing on heart health.
Yes. Okay. So love that question. The biggest thing when it comes to ingredients is your goal is 5 ingredients or less on that package. Now I empathize. That is not going to be that simple because we do live in the Midwest and we don't have the access to those ingredients 24/7. Our growing seasons are different. But again, 5 ingredients or less is what you're looking for. And then basically the best foods are the ones that don't have a nutrition label. Maddie said, shopping in the produce section. When you pick up a bell pepper, does it have an ingredient list on it? No, because number one ingredient is bell pepper. That's the only thing in it. The best foods to eat are the ones that don't have an ingredient list. That also encompasses meats, chicken, beef, all that. It's just, it is what it is. You look at it and you can see exactly what it is. Now, when you are looking at those foods that have ingredient lists, the best things that we're looking for are making sure that they have good quality fats. So we want to be utilizing things that have more olive oils, avocado oils, as opposed to hydrogenated vegetable oils. And then we're looking for things that are more whole grains, as opposed to like your bleached white flour would be a pretty common term you'd read on an ingredient list. And then any diet you could ask me about, just make sure it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. That'd be another one. But less ingredients, good fats, and more whole grains.
Okay, great. So that seems simple, right? And we think about it, but then we get in the grocery store and it isn't as simple sometimes as we want it to be unless we get in those habits, right? When you think about somebody who maybe is not living their most healthy life when it comes to their diet, are there some small steps that you recommend first?
Yes. Okay. So I always think doing a little inventory of your diet is a great way to start because then you can see firsthand like what you're eating, what your diet is composed of. Like how, yeah, you acknowledge eating processed food, but like how much? Because even I'm going to enjoy the occasional processed thing for sure. And that's not a problem, but how much of it? So food journaling is sometimes the very best place for anybody, no matter where you're at on that level of change. It's a great place to start because you can utilize that food journal to see the choices you're constantly making and then the things that you're missing. So then from there, if you're looking at, okay, where am I going to make a change? Look at what you are eating and how much of it, let's use vegetables for an example. If you're currently only eating one serving of vegetables a day, maybe instead of telling yourself, okay, I am like going to cut out all the processed stuff, I'm just going to go from eating one vegetable a day to two. The more that you incorporate those good things in your diet, they're naturally going to encourage the other things to come out. So looking at, I always use vegetables as the first place to start because we all know we should eat more vegetables. Could do the same thing with fruits. Could do the same thing with oils. I'm eating one vegetable a day, I'm going to increase to two. I'm eating one fruit a day, I'm going to increase to two. I'm going to switch out my oils for olive oil. Just those little swaps you can make. And then the more that you gain traction on all of those little things, the easier it's going to be to add more of those little things that add up to a really big thing.
Okay, great. Food journaling. Talk me through that. I sometimes have to reset myself and go back and use like a MyFitnessPal or something. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest? Is it what works for whoever the person is, what their preference is, and what does that entail? Is that writing down everything you eat? Is it writing down the calories and all of the nutrients in that? Or what do you suggest?
You've already hit it with the, is it what works best for each person? Absolutely. It is going to be whatever works better for you. So that the first question I always ask is, are you going to do pen and paper or an app? Our phones are with us all the time, so that's very handy. But some people, they're paper people. Figure that out first. Then are we just going to write down, and this is more if you're going to do it on paper, but write down just what you're eating and not necessarily worry about how much. Perfect. Then we can start there. If you're going to go with the app route, if you put anything in there, it's going to throw calories in there. So then you're going to get it. But sometimes we might just first focus on like the quality. So just the food choices you're making. And then we can maybe add in calorie ranges if that's what the person needs. If weight isn't as much of a factor into it, then the calories don't matter as much.
Okay, great. As a dietitian, and this is a trick question because I didn't throw this at you before, but I have naturally high cholesterol. It's just, it doesn't matter what weight I'm at. It's just the way that I'm predispositioned through family history. Mm-hmm. I use some supplements. Do you, as a dietitian, talk to people about supplements as well?
Yes. Nutritional supplements is a huge area of my world. I, of course, try to learn more about medications as well, but because I'm not prescribing them, I don't have that knowledge in the pharmaceuticals as much as I do in the nutritional supplements. Outside of the hospital, I work with them quite heavily, and that would be a component on how I would quote unquote treat patients outside of just their nutrition. What you're alluding at, I assume, is like familial hypercholesterolemia. So you have a genetic issue where you're always going to have high cholesterol. Some people have the misconception that you can't do anything about it because it's genetic and you're just stuck with it. But that's not always the case. So definitely nutritional supplements can be very helpful. Of course, I would only recommend things based off of working directly with you. Just like medications, supplements can be very helpful, but like you also don't want to take the wrong thing. To throw out a few things that if you were in my office, what we might talk about, niacin can be very helpful. Niacin is B3, and that can be a very helpful supplement with lowering cholesterol. It can cause some flushing. So some people get a little warmth that goes through to our body, and that's not a negative component. Fish oils, so omega-3s, primarily ones containing EPA and DHA, are wonderful. Not only can they have an impact in lowering your LDL, so our quote unquote bad cholesterol, but they can increase our HDL, which is our protective cholesterol, and they can have a really positive impact on our triglycerides as well. So those are just two things that kind of that we might throw out to be therapeutic, and I've seen really positive impacts with.
Yeah, and so as you talk through, those are probably some of the first go-tos for that heart health and lowering that cholesterol or managing that cholesterol. So potentially for a general population who's worried about cholesterol, those wouldn't be bad things for them to try.
Especially the fish oils. So anyone who's anyone, no matter what their health is, it is wonderful. I usually try to encourage people to be on a multivitamin, fish oil, probiotic, and then vitamin D, depending on what your status is. And then sometimes a fruits and greens product is really good to help encourage more fruits and vegetables. And so that's your Fab Five. Like those are five things I just rattled off, and that's the name we give them. But yes, those are usually going to be very safe things for anyone to be on. They are beneficial yet also therapeutic, but they're not something that's treating one specific condition.
We talked about diet with the fruits and vegetables and getting more whole grains for that heart health and some supplements. Obviously, you're a very active person. And I'm wondering when you're working with an outpatient or even an inpatient and talking about their health, I'm assuming that activity probably comes in always just a little bit as well. So because it is Heart Month and we're talking about heart health, yes, we're talking about nutrition. Diet plays a really important role, but the activity level is probably fairly important in that heart health as well.
For sure. Cardiovascular exercise, keyword there is cardio. So of course, like not to say just cardio is going to impact your health, but that word's in there for a reason. So exercise is absolutely going to have an impact on our cardiovascular health, on all areas of our health, mental and physical. So absolutely, I encourage exercise for everybody they work with and then try to tailor those recommendations based off of who that person is. So sometimes the word we might use is just activity because exercise might be a little daunting. And then I usually go through a series of questions of, okay, what do you want to do? And maybe the answer is walking. Great. Then how long are you going to walk for? 20 minutes. Okay. And how many days a week are we going to walk for? 3 days a week. So then through that conversation, we can tailor those recommendations to walking for 20 minutes, 3 days a week, starting there. And then we can increase the intensity of things as we go. We can add in weight training, which is incredibly important for not only heart health, but also for longevity purposes, strengthening the muscles, protective. And that actually helps lower your blood sugar too, the more muscle you have. All of those things. And then increasing the intensity through maybe like high intensity interval training to get the heart rate up, but then allow it to come back down. All of those can be things that can be beneficial for each person and have a lasting impact.
Okay, wonderful. It's a great time to talk about it. Ashley, if anyone wants to learn more or to inquire about outpatient nutrition services with you, they can contact you at Intentional Living Center at Park Chiropractic. And then we'll see you here at HRMC. We're so thrilled to have you here as our inpatient dietitian, caring for the nutritional needs of our patients and working with our food service staff.
Well, thanks. I'm super excited to be here. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I look forward to growing and learning more as we go.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening to the Well One Connection. This podcast is informational only and not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. Huron Regional Medical Center, online at huronregional.org.